speaking of the glory of the Lord, and I want you to go ahead and turn to Genesis 6:14 with me. That's where we're going to kind of kick it off. The glory of the Lord. See, a couple of weeks ago, I spoke about the beauty of Christ and the presence of God with us all the time because of what Jesus did. Having the presence of God literally with us all of the time. And it kind of sent me on this thinking and praying in this certain direction, and just the awesomeness of that. Because if we're aware of that presence that's with us all of the time, that will be able to allow us to live from the inside out. In other words, we don't need or we don't seek outside or worldly influence to complete us, to define our identities, to make us happy, joyful, any of that. We don't have to worry about that. So I found the scripture. Genesis 6:14. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make the ark with rooms, and shall cover it inside and out with pitch. Well, the first time I read the scripture, I kind of wrote it off. I'm like, okay, that's not exactly the thing I'm looking for in teaching this kind of lesson. I'm talking about something, you know. I'm not talking about the ark and, you know, all that good stuff. And so God stopped me, though. I felt a nudge in my spirit to take a closer look. So I did. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make the ark with rooms and shall cover it inside and out with pitch. Cover it inside and out with pitch. If you have the King James Bible, it says, pitch it within and without with pitch. But they're two different words, actually. Cover it with pitch on the inside and out. Now, first off, when I decided to take a closer look at this, at the what I think was the nudging of the Holy Spirit, I wondered, I was surprised that the brick and nails, so to speak, the thing, that the glue that's holding this boat together. I'm surprised that that was in the instructions of the very first sentence whenever God said anything about the ark. That's the very first verse and the very first sentence that God talks about the ark. He says, build an ark, rooms, gopher wood, and cover it on the inside and out with pitch. Now, if you're going to ask me about building a house, not that I'm a great house builder or anything, but I wouldn't think nails and mortar would be in the first sentence of describing how to build this house. But either way, I thought it was interesting. Cover it inside and out with pitch. Pitch was also known as kind of bitumen, and it was like a thick oil or asphalt. And it seeps from the deep surfaces, rocks, and deep in the ground, and it surfaces up to the top, to the surface of the earth, and sometimes the surface of the water. There are some, you can find large quantities of bitumen, or pitch, floating on the surface of Asphalt Lake on the island of Trinidad and near the Dead Sea. Pitch, when exposed to air for several days, it hardens to form a tight and resilient bond. The Hebrews used it to bond stones with each other so they could build a house, and the Israelites used it to cover their wood, to seal the wood of their boats. And the Egyptians used pitch as well to seal things that they wanted to keep dry, to keep moisture out. Cover it with pitch inside and out. Now that we know what pitch is, let's look at this word cover. The first part of this message is going to be a little bit of a word study, but if you hang with me, it's kind of fun. Some of you on the inside just went, yay, word study. Okay. Cover it with pitch inside and out. Pitch. Kafar is the Hebrew word there that they translated to cover. Look at the literal definition of this word, kafar. To cover, figuratively, it was used to expiate or reconcile or condone, to placate or cancel, to appease, atonement. Now, some of you may be saying, okay, Jeff, I know where you're going with this, and it's a stretch. But hang on. Look at this. The same word, God said, cover it on the inside of that with pitch. Kafar is the only word used in the Old Testament that was translated to the word atonement. For instance, Exodus 29:36. Each day you shall offer a bull as a sin offering for atonement, or kafar, and you shall purify the water when you make atonement for it, and you shall anoint it to consecrate it. And one that many of us have probably read many times, Leviticus 17:11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. Kafar, to cover your souls, for it's by the blood, by reason of the life that makes, for it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement. Interesting, right? And that word atonement, that word kafar, is actually used 92 times in the Old Testament. All of them, atonement, pardon or forgive, reconcile. And it's the same word that God used when he told Noah to cover the ark on the inside and out with pitch. So I took that information. I thought that was pretty interesting. I never thought that that would happen that way. And then I went to the New Testament to find the equivalent word for it in Greek. The Hebrew word kafar is the equivalent word to the Greek word hilasterion, which means atoning victim, a propitiation, or to reconcile. Reconcile means, in this case, we're restoring our relationship with God. Between the relationship between mankind and God, we're restoring that. That's reconciliation. And I love one of the dictionaries I looked at said to regain favor. Hebrews 2:17 says, therefore he had to be, it's talked about Jesus, he had to be made like his brethren in all things, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. That's hilasterion, an atonement or a cover. Romans 3:25, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation, talking about Jesus again, in his blood through faith. So, here's where I'm going with this. Here's where I believe God went with me on this. It's interesting to begin to link the importance of the covering of the ark with pitch and the purpose in that, and the covering of the redemption blood of Jesus in our lives today and the purpose of that. It was the pitch that covered the wood of the ark that separated the life on the inside of the boat from the tragedy on the outside of the boat. Huh? There's a light on the inside as opposed to the darkness on the outside. John 8:12, Jesus says this, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. Talked about Jesus again, in whom you also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You were sealed. We may still be in the world, influencing the world, but we are not of the world. We're not being influenced by sin and by the world. Jesus stated that in his prayer in John 17, 15 through 18. He says, I do not ask you to take them out of the world. He's praying for us and his disciples. But keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them, or set them apart. In truth, your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. In the world, not of the world. We are supposed to influence the world with the light that is on the inside of us and not be influenced by the world on the outside of us. All that we need and all that we seek is on the inside of us. God has created us inwardly sourced, living from the inside out. John 16:33, one of my favorites. Jesus says this to his disciples, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, or take courage. I have overcome the world. Science of the world says that anything that's heavier than water sinks when it's put in water. But then we come up with this idea where we could get this huge ship and it defies the laws that were previously set. It's still in the water, but it's opposed to the laws that used to be there. Living from the inside out, he says, I have overcome the world. If our peace, then, does not come from anything that the world can offer, then we should not be seeking things in the world to bring us peace. We should not rely on outside influence to affect our attitude, or even allow it to do so. Is that true, do you think? If we're living from the inside out and we have this truth and this life and light on the inside of us, then really, if anything on the outside of our ark begins to affect our attitude or our mood, we're living from the outside in. Oh, okay. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. When we begin to truly understand living from the inside out, I believe we will begin to realize that because of the divine nature that we now have, the world will not, should not, influence us, and we will not expect it to. We will not need to be influenced by outward sources, because our true joy and peace comes from the inside, because of a divine nature. Do you realize that you are partners with God, and you get some of that divine nature? Do you ever look at your partner and say, you're divine? Thou shalt now call me. No, not really. 2 Peter 1:4. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. It's flooding out there. Now, our culture, sometimes, I hate to blame everything on culture, but that's just how it is. Our culture is attempting to train us to live outside in. It's very normal. It's natural these days to live outside in. I believe that that's probably one of the things that may be the cause of some of the troubles that we find in America today. Because everything you say, do, think, act, wear, put on Twitter or Facebook hurts people's feelings. And the funny thing is, the people that complain about what other people are doing that hurt their feelings, they begin to complain and they're not realizing that their feelings are hurt because their feelings were hurt. They've allowed their feelings to get hurt, and so that hurts your feelings, and so they're just as... But what that does is we quietly begin to rely on things outside of us to affect our moods and our attitudes. Then we begin looking for things, trying to set up things that will make us happy, that will bring us peace. They say, surround yourselves with these things, activities, certain people even, this entertainment to achieve happiness and joy. Get this present to bring joy. Give this gift to bring happiness. But the Bible teaches us that our source does not come from the world, but it comes from inside, where the Spirit of God lives. For instance, Jesus says in John 15:11, these things I have spoken to you so that my joy, the joy of Jesus, he says, my joy may be in you, that your joy may be full. Where's the source of our joy? Nowhere out there. The source of our joy is in here. God has placed abilities and resources on the inside of each one of us that can bring us peace, joy, happiness, love, regardless, get this, regardless of the circumstances happening around us on the outside of our boat. Whatever the world is tempting us to believe, whatever's going out there, the source is inside. I believe that when we begin to seek outside influence to alter our attitudes or moods, we unknowingly begin to remove the pitch, peeling back the pitch, peeling back that cover, that atonement. And then the outside water starts flooding in. And then if you're not careful, before you know it, we're in the same circumstances as everybody is on the outside. We become flooded with the same attitudes, the same feelings as the culture that surrounds us. We're no longer sanctified or set apart because we look and we act just like the troubled ones in the waters of the flood. Watch your toes, folks. The pitch or the covering, the atonement, keeps the world out there and God's blessings on the inside, because only then can we become a blessing to the world and redistribute the love and the light of God, just like Noah did with all those animals. Replenish the earth, he said in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, he said, bear fruit. Galatians 5:16-23 says this. Galatians 5:16-23. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. It's inside and outside. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition one another. Because there's no way a 4-ton boat can float unless it's covered with something, in this case, covered with pitch. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are, and here's a list. It's not all of everything, but it's a list. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery. Those things, okay, got that. Enmity, strife. Come on, God. Ease up. That's a bad one? Jealousy, outbursts of anger. Use your blinker for crying out loud. I know somebody that's got two thumbs and is guilty of that. This guy. Outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit, or the products, what the Spirit of God produces on the inside of you, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Those that live inside out are not just consumers, they are suppliers to the world with the products produced by the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of them. I love that. It's a different way of thinking. And I can take that in my life. It's life-changing. Those that live from the inside out search out ways and opportunities to actually bring a benefit to the table. Not just come and take and eat and use. They seek to be a benefit instead of a better get. Yeah, think about that one. I made that up. Now, sometimes you hear the world will say stuff like, well, that's just the hand that I'm dealt with. But I say, my true cards are on the inside of me, coming from a much higher power source than the dealers in the world. Matthew 14:27, I believe, says, peace I leave with you. My peace, this is Jesus. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God didn't promise everything would be perfect in our lives, but he promised that he would be with us through it all and get us through it all. We just have to learn to live from the inside out. Our reactions, get this, our reactions need to come from the inside, where the Spirit is. Just as I am preparing this sermon, driving in today, someone doesn't use their blinker, and I don't know. I'm sorry, but that's one of my things. Use your blinker, for crying out loud. But, you know, it kind of gets me just a lot. What, do they think they're the only ones on the road? You know, to me it's... And all of a sudden I've got this anger. It didn't come from the inside. It come from circumstances on the outside. I've allowed a little water to get in. So I had to recover up that spot, right? Here's some examples. Paul and Silas were not reacting according to their surrounding circumstance when they were when they began praying and singing praise and worship in the middle of that jail cell in the pits down there, and it resulted in their miraculous breakout of the pokey. They were living from the inside out. Jesus was not reacting according with his circumstances around him when the storm came up in that boat and everybody else thought that they were going to drown and die, and Jesus was asleep. Seems inappropriate, but he was living from a faith and a trust that he had on the inside of him. Peter, in Acts 12, 1 through 8, Peter got taken into prison. This emperor just killed John, and they got Peter, threw him in prison. He had four guards on him. They're going to kill him the next day. They're going to execute the next day. Comes nighttime, and what does Peter do? He takes off his shoes, his cloak, falls asleep. It would be difficult for me to fall asleep. I got to be honest with you. That is truly living from the inside out. It's almost as if Peter knows something that nobody else does, because he's living from that faith and that trust on the inside out. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were amazed. Nebuchadnezzar responded when he got him out of there, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angels and delivered his servants who put their trust in him." You see, they trusted more in God than they trusted their eyes and their knowledge of what a fiery furnace can do to a human. Right? John 15, 4 through 11. "Abide in me, and I in you." This is Jesus talking here. "As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine." Where's your source? It's in the vine. "So neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do how much? Nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and they cast them into the fire and they're burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be full." You see, folks, the world is flooding. And the world needs what you have on the inside of you. The world needs the salvation of Jesus Christ. And listen, let's be honest. If you're swimming in the same waters as they are, it's going to be difficult to show them that. That's why we have to be different. We have to be set apart. We're still among them. We're still in them. We're not of the world. Cover it with pitch on the inside and out. You have been atoned, covered, and reconciled. Live then from the blessings and abilities that God has placed on the inside of you. Train yourself to look within. When you feel an emotion, when you feel fear, train yourself to look within at what God has on the inside of you instead of looking without and seeing what everybody else is doing. If you do that, here's what I believe. You'll feel a lot less anger. You'll feel a lot less frustration, fear, and anxiety. Do you know why? Because God did not place those things in your ark. You know what God put in your ark? Rather than all of that, you are transporting a load of cargo called power, love, and a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. That's your cargo. That's what we need to be living out of, inside to out. But if I could please have Barbara come back up and let's sing that last song again. I want you to think about these words. And then we're going to have Pastor Keith to get up and lead us in a communion. But I want you to think about these words and think about the blessings of what we actually have on the inside of us. And think about how we need to be aware of that so that we can share that with the world.